title of our sermon is Bringing Our Little Ones to the Lord. So Matthew 19, we'll be reading verse 13 through 15. That's found on page 980 in our black pew Bibles. So Matthew 19, starting at verse 13. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. And that's as far as reading here in Matthew 19. Our focus text is particularly verse 14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, the first few years of a child's life is incredibly important and very formative. In the early years of a child's life, they will learn the skill set upon which they will build the rest of their lives. Most parents spend a lot of time, money, and effort to equip their children in order to live and even thrive in this world. We want our children to have the tools of the trade, if you will. We want them to succeed. But what does spiritual success look like? Yes, we want our children to have the tools of the trade to be able to enter the workforce and to be able to use their God-given gifts to serve in the context of this world. But what about spiritual success? Well, if we want our children to be good at something, we'll usually put them in some sort of a camp or a league to help them use their gifts and to succeed. We spend a lot of time and money and effort making sure our children have all the different opportunities that we would like them to have. But how often do we think about the spiritual gifts that our children need, or the spiritual training, the discipleship that needs to take place in the home as well? Well, today we are going to see the priority that Jesus places on these little children and the encouragement that Jesus gives to parents to bring their little ones to the Lord. The fact is, the majority of Christians become a Christian before they are 20 years old. Not all, to be sure. Praise God, there are conversions later on in life. But around 75% of Christians become Christians before they are 20 years old, and parents have a very instrumental part in this change. Added to that, once children turn 21 or move out of the house, the parental oversight and input that they might have in their children's life decreases. So when you look at it from this perspective, parents have a very limited time to have direct oversight and input, a few short years in which they can really invest themselves in the lives of their children before they're off into the wide world. Knowing that, what sort of things should we prioritize? What sort of things should we emphasize when it comes to raising, to training our children? So today we're going to be looking at this passage from Matthew 19 with this theme: Jesus Christ encourages godly parents to bring their little ones to the Lord. And the sermon today is going to be a little bit different. It is going to be heavy on the application. It's going to be bringing us reminders, challenging us all in what sort of things do we prioritize in our lives and what sort of things do we prioritize in the lives of our children. If we hear this instruction from the Lord, "Let the little children come to me and hinder them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Well, then let's start in our first point, where we find Jesus telling the disciples, and by extension telling the parents of these children, "Let them come to me. Bring me these children. It is my desire to have these little ones placed on my lap so that I can place my hands upon them, I can pray for them, and I can bless them. Do not keep these little ones far from me, but bring them to me." Jesus is not a cold and distant Savior. He is not an academic professor that speaks in cold and distant truths. He is not a God who is far away and distant, uncaring and unconcerning. He is a God who is close, who is near, who is loving, who is caring. You remember that the disciples here in our passage were telling the parents to keep these children away. Jesus is much too busy and way too important to spend time talking with children, to bother with these little ones. So the disciples are standing in the way. They're like a doorman blocking entrance into the building. Jesus has crowds that he has to teach. He has multitudes that he needs to feed. He has the sick that need to be healed, the dead that need to be raised. Jesus' agenda is packed with important things. He does not have time to cradle little kids in his hands to hold these little babes. But Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." Well, how do we bring our children to Jesus today? How are we to let the little children come to Jesus? Obviously, we cannot bring them to Jesus and place them on his feet in the flesh today, but that does not mean that we have no opportunities to bring our little children to the Lord. Parents can bring their children to Jesus when they teach their children about Jesus, specifically teaching them about Jesus, his word, and his works. And this starts in the home. And it starts at a very young age. Parents can teach their children when they teach their children the law. Didn't we read that earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 6? Parents are to diligently teach them God's law. That's Deuteronomy 6. Talk about my word when you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, when you leave your house, when you come back home. Talk about my word and you're coming and going. One of the ways we can bring our children to the Lord is by reading the Bible, praying with them, and teaching them about God's word in our daily activities. More than just having devotions. Yes, that's important. And I know that's part of our heritage, which is absolutely wonderful. When you finish a meal, you read the Bible and pray. Absolutely wonderful. That's one aspect of it. But the imagery given in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is not just a few short minutes of reading a few verses and then having nothing to say about God's word the rest of the day. It's you respond to situations in a biblical way. And you teach your children how to have the lenses of Scripture that help you understand what's going on. You're watching a movie with your kids. Hey, kids, do you see what this movie is trying to teach you? Do you see how the mentality of the world is being pushed on you through this video that you're watching? Do you hear this going on and you have the radio on? Is this good theology, children? Is this what the Bible teaches? You see this going on in the news. Why do you think this is going on in the news? What's the bigger picture here? What is God doing behind the scenes here? All these are ways for parents to bring their children to the Lord. Another way that parents are to bring their children to the Lord is through their godly example. When your children see you reading the Bible, when your children see you praying, you're giving your children the opportunity to see you meeting with Jesus, talking with Jesus in your prayers, listening to his word. In this way, your children are reading your life like a book. More than that, parents, you can bring your children to Jesus when you pray for your children. Not only pray with your children, pray for your children. When you're praying for your children, you are taking your little ones and you're placing them on Jesus' knee. You're bringing your little ones before the throne of grace. So parents, I encourage you, spend time praying for your children individually and their specific needs, asking God to send his grace and his spirit upon your little ones. Because as you know, parents, you cannot change the hearts of your children. You cannot make your children believe. But in prayer, you are asking God to do the very thing that you cannot do. You are coming to Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit, asking Christ by His Spirit to change the hearts of your little ones. To illustrate this point, perhaps some of you know the story, St. Augustine credited the consistent prayers of his mother, Monica, for the profound change in his own life. As St. Augustine put it like this, he could not outrun the prayers of his mother. So may it be that as parents, we are praying consistently for our children, praying that the Holy Spirit would give them hearts of flesh. Another way, obviously, when you can bring your children to the Lord is by taking them to church. You're bringing them to church, and what takes place at church is, with the means of grace, and particularly through the preaching, your children are hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. If we want our children to repent and believe, we want our children to be people of faith, and we know that God produces faith in the hearts of His children through the preaching of the Word, where will we take our children? But to the very place that God says, that's where I produce faith in the hearts of my people. So parents, take your children to church. And let your children see you engaged in the walk of holiness. Let them see you showing interest and dedication to spiritual things, using your gifts to serve God's people. Take your children along and show them what it means to serve the saints. Remind your children, as we're going to see in our third point, remind your children that church is not just a place for old people. Right? This is not your parents' church, children. This is your church. You are a member of this church. You are a baptized member of this church. God has said to you, you are my child. I am your God. I've placed my name, my claim, my covenantal seal has been placed upon you. You belong here. This is where you have a home and a family. And finally, we can show our children what it means to be a follower of Jesus when we let the gospel change our interactions with them. One specific example is that we can show our children what it means to forgive, to receive grace. So when your children sin against you and they ask for forgiveness, being quick to forgive them. And when you sin against them, which parents do sin against their children, parents asking your children for forgiveness. You're displaying mercy and grace. You are showing the gospel developed in your life. So in this way, you can bring your little ones to the Lord. But we can also, unfortunately, hinder them. And this is our second point. Do not hinder them. One of my favorite songs when I was a kid was Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day. And I don't know if they still teach that song, but maybe you older members, old middle-aged members, might remember this song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. But neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. Well, the application is very simple. If you read your Bible and you pray every day, you will grow in faith. But if you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, you should have every expectation that you will backslide in your faith. When you put that lesson in the context of our passage, we see that there are things parents can do to encourage their children to grow, grow, grow. But there are also things that parents can do that will have the opposite effect. There are things that parents can do that will hinder their children's spiritual growth, or could hinder their children's spiritual growth. So Jesus continues in verse 14, hinder them not. Do not stand in the way. Do not raise barriers. Do not place burdens on your children that will make it harder for them to come to me. One simple example is don't forget to take your children to church. Don't be so busy that you are neglecting the means of grace. Don't put chains on your children to stop them from coming to me. For these disciples, it literally meant stop standing in the way and trying to stop these parents from bringing their children. Don't drive the sheep from their good shepherd. But how about us? How can we as parents, what are some ways in which we can stand in the way or that we can be hindrances to our children's spiritual development? Well, we can fail to equip our children, or we can fail to bring our children to the Lord when we neglect our spiritual calling to equip them. When we do the opposite of what Ephesians 6 says, where Ephesians 6 says, raise your children in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. When we raise our children like the children of the world, when we have something else as a higher priority in our life and the lives of our family than Christ and his people. Now, this can be a host of things. There are all sorts of things that can become a higher priority in our families, in our homes, than spiritual disciplines. So if mom and dad are more concerned about money or sports or popularity or vacations or whatever, fill in the blank, if mom and dad are more concerned about those things, you can bet your children will pick up on that. They will learn that very quickly. What is important to mom and dad becomes a priority to their children. So a lack of interest in spiritual things. But there are other ways in which parents can build barriers between their children and the Lord. We read earlier from Ephesians 6 where fathers particularly, and this is interesting, fathers are told, do not provoke your children. Do not embitter them. Parents, particularly fathers, can do things that become a burden, something that hampers their children's spiritual development. Do not embitter them. Do not provoke them. Do not push them to anger. An action that causes injury or stirs unnecessary hostility. Now, parents, we can do this in many different ways. One way in which we provoke our children is by always being negative and never encouraging. We can provoke our children by being overly harsh, unloving, and impatient. If we are always pointing out the faults of our children and never giving them encouragement, we can be breaking their spirits. So harsh, unloving, and impatient. But on the flip side, we can also provoke our children by being overly permissive. When we don't give our children clear boundaries, if we never tell our children no, when we spoil them and give them everything they want and refuse to disciple them in the way of the Lord. So we can provoke our children by falling into these two extremes, either ignoring or idolizing. If we expect nothing of them or we expect too much of them. In this way, parents make it difficult for their children to see, respect, submit, and honor authority. It starts in the home. If you're not helping, if you're not equipping your children to honor you, to respect you, to obey you as mom and dad in the home, what's going to happen when they leave the home? They're not only going to have problems in the workplace, problems with police officers, problem with the church, they're going to have problems submitting and obeying Jesus Christ. They've never learned that foundational, that cornerstone of submitting to proper authority. Recognizing Jesus as the supreme authority, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So parents have to see the danger in hindering their children from coming to the Lord. Just as no shepherd would drive away the sheep, parents must reflect the loving embrace of the good shepherd. When Jesus is embracing these little ones, he is putting his loving heart on display. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus' arms are open. John 6, verse 37 puts it like this. All whom the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. That is a wonderful promise. Whoever comes to me I will never cast out. So the comfort here is abundantly clear. If the perfect Heavenly Father places you in the hands of his Son, Jesus, you will never be cast out and you will never be lost. So those chosen by the Father and placed in the hands of the Son will come, and these will find rest. As we move on then to our last and final point, we consider the concluding promise that Jesus gives at the end of verse 14. Let the little children come, hinder them not, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven. So what is the identity of these little ones that were being placed in the arms of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus says that these are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. To these belong the kingdom. Not that they are heirs by nature, but rather they are grafted into the kingdom by grace. Being an heir to the kingdom is not something that we can boast or take pride in ourselves, not something we claim in our own ability. It is a blessing of God's grace that we, as believers, and our children receive. And let me just say this very briefly. Children, I hope you know how privileged you are. I hope you know how blessed you have been. That you have the name of the sovereign God placed upon you, his sign and seal administered to you. That God has said, you are mine, I am your God, you are my sheep, my children. You are an heir. What a privilege it is that we all have to be heirs, princes and princesses of the kingdom. And as the King of Kings, Jesus Christ knows who are his and has the right to call his own, to bestow the blessings of the kingdom where he sees fit. So who are the children specifically in Matthew 19? Who is Jesus talking about? Well, in the immediate context, Jesus is saying, these children that are being brought to me, to such as these belongs the kingdom. Well, what was the identity of these children? Well, these were the children of believers. These were the children of those who were disciples of Jesus Christ, who had heard the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ, who had responded by faith. The children of believers. What does 1 Corinthians 7 say? It says that the children of believers are holy, dedicated to God, set apart. So the children in the immediate context, who Jesus Christ says are heirs of the kingdom, are the offspring of those who had believed in Jesus Christ and were bringing their children to the Lord. Those who had heard, believed, and received. These parents in our passage are acting on faith. Coming to the one who they trusted in, believing in this one, Jesus, to bless their children. These little ones, our passage focuses on this, were being brought to Jesus. They were toddlers, they were infants, they were being carried, they were placed on Jesus Christ, very small. And yet Jesus says, these little ones belong to me. There is a clear thread or the theme of the covenant that's running through our passage. Even as we plan to celebrate this morning, covenant blessings are intended for believers and their seed, The Lord made this clear to Abraham and again on Pentecost Sunday. The promise is for you and for your children. Jesus does not embrace every single child that has ever been born. It is not Jesus going around the neighborhood picking up random kids and blessing them. Jesus is embracing, praying, blessing the children of believers. That is why the sign and seal of baptism is applied to believers and their seed and their children. But to be clear, these children who are being placed on Jesus' lap are not free from sin. Being an heir to the kingdom does not negate the need for faith and repentance. These children in our passage and the children in our church today still need to be raised, taught, instructed in the fear and knowledge of the Lord. They still need to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Being placed on Jesus' knee does not guarantee salvation, but it does put them in the context of God's grace. And perhaps this is a helpful way of looking at the blessings of the covenant. Being a member of the covenant community means that you've been placed on Jesus' knee. You are in the context of Jesus' blessing. You get to hear his word spoken over you. You get to see his sign and seal, just as our own children get to hear the covenantal promises proclaimed and the seal administered to them. The promise is clear. God would be your God. You would be his people. The promise of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins is clearly declared and promised to these. But we need to build upon this in order to enjoy the full blessings of salvation as we grow. We need the Spirit to enable us to believe and to embrace these promises so that we would be born again and trust in the Lord with all our heart. But the children in this passage also illustrate for us a spiritual truth that, like the children in our passage, we too are completely dependent. There is no one who can muster up the strength in themselves to place themselves on Jesus' lap. We, like the children in our passage, have no power to save ourselves. And that's why Jesus says you must have childlike faith. We are poor, we are needy, we are dependent, completely reliant on someone else to save. We have no power in ourselves to save ourselves, much less to save our children. It is Jesus who must embrace, it is Jesus who must bless, it is Jesus who must pray for them. The Spirit gives new life so that we might repent and believe. Only then will we be truly and eternally blessed. Come to Jesus, and he will give you this promised rest. To conclude, the parents in our passage have a good and godly desire. They want their children to be embraced, prayed for, and blessed by Jesus Christ. So may those who have little children continue to bring them to the Lord, not just at baptism, but throughout their early years, bringing their little ones to Jesus. And it is our prayer that Jesus, by his Spirit, would do the work of continuing to bless our little ones. As our theme states, Jesus Christ encourages godly children to bring their little ones to him. So may these little ones be brought to Jesus and hinder them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Amen. Our Father in heaven,